I too want to welcome you to Resurrection Sunday here at Hope Community Church, and we are so glad to have each and every one of you here. I believe, and I've been praying, and others have been praying for me, that I have a message to share with you today. And basically, we're going to read this story that we just saw with some marvelous hand art here. But before we do that, I have to make an announcement. All the kids, as Steve said, are going to stay up here except the little ones as you go to the nursery. So we have some things to kind of keep you occupied because you may not be able to pay attention to me the whole time. So from kids from 2 to 6, if you want to raise your hands, or parents, if you want to raise your hands, we've got some ushers coming around with some bags and goodies in it. As a matter of fact, I'll share later, we have all kinds of things to share with you today. But we want to do this at this time. So if you could do that, and then as Steve asked us to, I'll remind you that if you could, to shut off your cell phones and what have, so there's no interruptions. And kids, look into the bag quietly if you can, or as quiet as you can, I should say. We love having our kids with us. All right, could I lead us in prayer as we open God's Word and hear what He has for us to say? Father, what a glorious day to come and celebrate together in faith the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help us to celebrate. Help us to learn today the value of what it means that You rose from the dead. Touch our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Three things I want to try to accomplish today in this whole picture of this Holy Week that we have celebrated. We had a marvelous time, a very precious, solemn time Friday night, where George and Jeff led us in remembrance of the death of Christ. But here's what I want to do. I want to have us look at those who were alive at the time of this Holy Week. Then I want us to look at God's perspective of this Holy Week. And then I want us to look at our perspective. What do we really believe? What do we perceive was accomplished during this week, the Passion Week as it's known as? I'm going to ask Jeff Davis, where is Jeff? Handsome man all dressed up. I'm going to have him come up here. And I've asked Andrew and Jeff to help me. So Jeff, you come on up here. And I'm going to give explicit instructions to Jeff Davis. Jeff, I want you to come up here on the upper stage. I want you to look out those windows and back up right on the edge. Okay? And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to follow my instructions very carefully. Do not, I repeat, do not fall back. He did well. Let's give him a hand. Jeffrey, come down to the lower stage. I want you to put your same position. I want you to look out the window and close your eyes. And this time I want you to listen to my instructions carefully. I want you to fall back and trust us to catch you. Go ahead. Good catch.
Yeah, you okay, buddy?
All right. Gotta...
Now, kids, if Jeffrey didn't listen to me when he was up on the upper stage, what do you think might have happened? Anybody? Fall. And what if he fell, buddy? What would happen? He would bleed. Very likely. This is a concrete floor. There are consequences when we don't follow explicit instructions. Jeff followed them. We're going to look into a little story that God gave us in Matthew. We're finishing up our series, As It Is in Heaven, So It Is on Earth. And I want you to turn to chapter 28, if you have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles and want one, you can raise your hand. Some of the ushers will give you one. Jeremy is going to put it up on the stage, up on the overhead here. We're reading in Matthew 28, starting with the first verse. And I'm just going to read and you listen. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. If you would look at some of the other portions of the gospel, this is a story that every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, has written about. And each writer has added perspectives and insights and truths. The second Mary is the Mary of James and Salome. It's another Mary who followed Jesus in his ministry. And Mary Magdalene, if you remember, that was the prostitute who was forgiven by God and just became a true follower of her. They went or on their way to the tomb one morning. Now, verse 2, there was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going back to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. If you read in the portion of Luke, I believe it is, Mary and the other Mary are walking towards the tomb and they have this conversation. And I'm going to ad-lib it a little bit. What are we going to do about the stone? It's huge. How are we going to roll it back to get in to anoint Jesus with these perfumes that we have brought? Didn't even think about it. The women, were in a loving manner going to seek Jesus to care for a dead person. The disciples, they're out of here. They're gone. This death shattered them. And it didn't have to be if they listened to God's instruction. Let me read you three different times that Jesus encouraged them and reminded them what was going to happen in the future. This is Matthew 16. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day rise to life again. Peter heard what he said, because here's how Peter responded. May it never be, Lord. There's no way that's going to happen. And Jesus had to rebuke him. Second time, Matthew 17. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed in the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised to life, and the disciples were filled with grief. The third time, Matthew 20. We are going to go up to Jerusalem, Jesus said. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will rise to life. Isn't it interesting that Jesus told them this story three times, yet when it happened, they were shattered. Doubt, despair, delusion, and eventually hopelessness filled their hearts. You see, it is very crucial how you and I perceive this Holy Week. The Palm Sunday, the death and burial of Jesus, and then today, the rising again. Without a true belief in this, there is hopelessness. Let me read you the rest of the story. Going back to Matthew 28, in verse 3, after the stone had been rolled back, the angel sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And you know, with the earthquake and the angel rolling back the stone, it wasn't to let Jesus out. There's a good chance Jesus was already out. The stone was rolled away to let his followers in. He wanted them to experience the reality of the resurrection. Then verse 7, then said the angel, go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. The thought of the resurrection, they haven't seen Jesus yet. The thought of the resurrection brings joy. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is joy from heaven to you and I. Anybody here want joy? We're living in a world that's going mad. Chaos, wars and rumors of wars, just as Jesus said. There will be no peace physically on this earth until the reigning Jesus comes. And that's what the disciples didn't understand. We've talked about this, all this series. They were looking for a redeemer to rescue Israel from the oppression of Rome. And it wasn't Jesus' plan. They didn't understand. They needed their hearts redeemed. They needed, as the Bible says, our dead hearts made alive again in Jesus Christ. And that can only happen with the forgiveness of sins by the penalty that Jesus took on himself on the cross for you and I. You and I are hopelessly lost without the forgiveness of sins. If you believe in the God of the creation, the God of the Bible, he says we must have our sins forgiven. And the cross does that. And the resurrection is so powerfully a statement that says it's complete and it's guaranteed. Let me finish reading here. Verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Good news. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Isn't it wonderful that even though when they ran to tell the disciples, they were afraid and filled with joy, Jesus says, I want you to keep the joy, but lose the fear. No more fear anymore. I'm risen. Hallelujah. The followers of Jesus in that time became fearful and hopeless because they didn't listen to the words of Jesus. I must die, but I will rise again. Now, from God's point of view, his perspective, and this is glorious as I meditated and studied on this. You know, and I can't fathom this, the Bible says that Jesus never had a beginning. He wasn't created. He always was. I believe that, but I don't understand it. There's no time with God. But for us to try to see that back in the, just keep going back and back and back, before there was a world here in creation, God had in mind several things. One was to create a world, heavens and earth. And we have that account in Genesis 1. And it took him about a week to do that. And his comment was on that, this is good. This earth, this heaven, these birds, animals, vegetation, and human life is good. It's very good. But from the beginning of time and before, God also knew how desperate human life would need a Savior. And that too was planned before the creation of the world. The Bible tells us, for every one of us who have trusted in the name of Jesus Christ, He knew about it beforehand. He had it planned. So then, when this week came for the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I gotta believe the emotions were at high peak. His Father, God the Father, knew that His Son would go through some excruciating suffering for you and I. Jesus knew that. To the point where in that garden scene, if you remember, His humanity said, I don't want to go through this. But I want to encourage you. His deity said, it's a done thing. I will accomplish this. I want to tell you, the crucifixion was a guarantee for us. The resurrection was a guarantee. God saw that it was needed, and with Him, all things are possible. And He accomplished the work on the cross and this rising from the dead in great power. This was a time of jubilee. From creating the earth and having it contaminated by sin, this week God accomplished something that was beyond our comprehension. He accomplished for us a kingdom that will be eternal. Are you part of that kingdom? You can be today, and I want to tell you how. This is what God has done for us, and it's a marvelous thing in our eyes. All right, we've seen how they responded in this time, the people of that day, His followers. I hope I gave you a sense of what God sensed and felt through that week about 2,000 years ago. You know, He said on the cross, it is finished. But when He rose from the dead, it was all laid out. It is all going to be accomplished. All we are now is in the waiting game for God to go all over the world finding followers for Himself. That one day, when that last follower of His has been made alive in Christ by faith and grace, Jesus is coming again. What does that mean to you and to me? I want to read you something from Corinthians. And if you, Jeremy, would put this on the board. Paul writes to the church, and he wants them to understand the power and the purpose of the resurrection. And he says this in verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Understand that. If there is no resurrection, I'm wasting my breath up here. And your faith in a Savior is foolish. Let me go down to 16. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Wow! I thought the cross took care of my sins. It absolutely did. But without the resurrection, it doesn't add up. It won't be enough. The resurrection had to take place, and it did. Verse 18, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Why? Because there's no eternal life. This life is hard. It's hard to serve the Lord. There's tremendous persecution, tremendous adversaries that are against us, that hate the work of Christ. We've talked about that before in Ephesians. Our battle's not with flesh and blood. God says it's with principalities and powers of a dark world where God and Satan are battling out. But the cross crushed them. We're victorious, and we can stand strong in that no matter what we go through here. Listen, Christian, believer, because of the resurrection, you can take hope in the struggles of this world because it is not easy. Romans 8:17 says this, for I consider that the sufferings of this present world aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that you and I will have when eternity is set here on earth. That's our hope. We don't live on the here and now only. We need to believe that the resurrection has done something far beyond what we can imagine or think. And you and I need to live in that. And today is a day to rejoice in that. We're going to give out some balloons to the kids when they leave today. We talked about that and we felt it would not be good to give them to them now. But I'm going to give you an illustration. And with your parents' permission, kids, you can try this at home. Okay? With your parents' permission. But I thought about it. And again, let me just phrase this illustration in this framework. This is an illustration about your spiritual welfare. This is an illustration about eternity. And God is saying this. And we're going to hand out these balloons. Oh, and by the way, we're also going to not hand out, but if you would like any of these flowers here on the stage, you can come and take them too. All right, just as a reminder of this glorious day. But this illustration is to help us remember what we're depending on. We here on earth that know Christ aren't depending on what we do to gain a rightful place with God. Some may be. You know, you may be putting your trust in something other than the God of the Bible. We saw an illustration by Jeff being up here that he was putting his trust in some instructions that I gave him to do, and it was a very safe thing for him. If he didn't listen to those instructions, there could be tremendous consequences. What are you depending your eternal life on? Is it, well, I don't do bad things. I go to church once in a while. I sing pretty good. God says, it ain't going to happen. Well, I give a lot of money to good organizations and to the poor and try to feed the hungry. It's wonderful. It won't earn you eternal life. Well, I go to church. I'm here today. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't it count for something? It's wonderful. that you're here today. But don't count on that for eternal life. You're going to come up short. Well, here's the thought. Isn't Jesus loving? Won't he just have mercy on me because he's good and kind? That's true. But you need to understand this. The cross demonstrated that that is definitely not enough. He paid the price for you and I to have eternal life. If you and I are depending on anything, ourselves, government, kindness, works, it doesn't measure up. When you stand before God and you don't have His righteousness placed upon you by faith in what God has done on the cross and His resurrection, it's hopeless. The resurrection tells us, if we put our faith and trust in it, that we will live again. If you and I confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, not, I believe Jesus, he was a good guy and this stuff. I believe in the sovereign God of the universe who created all things. We're going to learn that in our new series in Colossians. Jesus, the creator of all things, came and died for us. If we confess that, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I set everything aside for you. If we confess with our mouth, my Lord Jesus, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you and I will be saved based on the work that Jesus Christ done. It's that simple. But it's so hard because of our proud, dark hearts. God has to awaken our hearts to the knowledge that He is real. And we give that invitation to you today. If you have never come to the place that you believe is just not a nice day on a sunny day of resurrection, but there's something to this. God Himself came as man, lived a perfect life, died a perfect sacrifice, atoned for our sins, and was risen from the dead, then you, the Bible says, are lost. But you don't have to be. God is inviting you to come simply by faith. What does that look like? It means that you, even as you're listening today, could simply say to God in a simple prayer, Lord, I think I believe that. I want to believe that. Yes, I do believe that. I come to you and ask that you would take away my sins because of your sacrifice. I put my faith and trust in you that I can lean on you and I will not fall down ever. Those who put their trust in me, says Jesus, will never be put to shame. It's an invitation. And how wonderful for you to accept that. Pray that to God this morning as an invitation to accept Christ as your Savior. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. Again, this invitation is for those who do not trust in Jesus. But for you and I who do trust in Jesus, it's a reminder again, the resurrection day is our hope. Take it with you every day of your lives, through the struggles, through the despair. You do not have to have hopelessness because Jesus rose from the dead. I want to tell you, if he didn't, this life would be worthless. We would just exist for 70 years and we're gone. But the truth is, eternity is at the doorstep for you and I, and we can live it every day. Let's stand and worship the Lord.